My name is ER. I would like to hear a program regarding overcoming the difficulties and challenges of blended family, blended family dynamics.
Well, Mr. ER, my friend, we're going to deliver today. We have a great guest coming up in a moment who's an expert in this area of blended families, and we're going to be taking calls on our comment line. We'd love to fill it up with the question, how do you feel? Here's the question. How do you feel as a parent when your child is not being treated fairly in your blended family? And you know exactly what that feels like. What does it feel like? What do you do? What works? Share it on our storyline live right now at 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. This is from the archives, the program today. So we have the archive callers ready to go for the radio portion live, but your calls on the storyline would be appreciated at 888-888-1717. Again, we're talking about blended families today. And our friend Ron Deal, you've probably heard him somewhere around the country. He's the director of Family Life Blended over there at Family Life with our friends that are doing such a great job reaching families. And we're going to invite Ron to join us here in just a moment. But before he does, I just want to say on behalf of our mission and ministry here at Intentional Living, this is the last day of our fiscal year. Can't believe it. 365 days they've passed, and we've seen people come to Christ, families strengthened. People have made decisions to live more intentionally. Maybe it's been you. And I just want to say on this last day, a final request to help us close out our fiscal year with all the bills paid and being where we need to be. So what happens literally between now and midnight is going to make a big difference. So whatever you could do to help the ministry with a faithful, generous gift would be so appreciated. You're saying, well, maybe I'm giving monthly now. I appreciate it. If you're able to give a 13th month an additional love gift, thank you. Maybe this is a single gift here at the end of the fiscal year. Thank you. Again, just go to theintentionallife.com, click on donate, theintentionallife.com. All right, Ron, welcome to the show today. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, Randy. It's really good and an honor to be back with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You know the stats. We know blended families been on the rise over the years. I can remember back in the early days when I was doing conferences, how many of you are blended families? You know, you get some hands up. Now it's a lot in the crowd. I mean, there's just a good percentage of people that raise their hand. This is more common. It's a bigger issue, and it certainly is challenging. So I don't think it's a topic that people aren't aware of some of the challenges. But what have you seen, Ron, in your work? Are there anything changing in terms of the issues that blended families are facing?
You know, I don't know that much is changing. It's fascinating to me that we keep coming across the same dynamics over and over and over again. Now, there is a growing trend in that there are more and more blended families that are first-time marriages, and so that's a little different. But the internal dynamics of the blended family aren't that much different than some of the other pathways in which people find themselves in blended families. But, you know, more and more people are getting married for the first time, but they've already have a child by somebody that they're not now getting married to, and so it may be a first wedding for both adults.
Yeah.
The other thing, you know, when you opened the broadcast, you were talking about, you know, you're jumping on a moving conveyor belt. That's what step-parents are doing especially, and it's a really good analogy because everybody else is used to the pace, the flow, the direction of the conveyor belt. They've been on it a long time before you showed up, and now you got to hit the ground running while trying to figure out balancing your marriage, doing romance, and trying to figure out how to solidify that relationship. While at the same time, you're running fast to figure out how to do parenting, step-parenting, what's my place, what's my role, what do you think my role is, what do I think my role is. Those expectations sometimes clash. And so there's a lot happening all at once. And that's why the stress level for the average blended family the first couple of years is really pretty high. You know, it just, you start off with high stress. But our encouragement to blended families is, look, yes, you hit the ground running. Yes, you have a lot to try to navigate quickly. But stay the course. Stay with it. You'll figure some things out. When things smooth out, then you're riding the conveyor belt, and it's kind of fun. It's not all work. And so there is blessing if you just stay the course.
But sometimes people get on that conveyor belt with the idea that they don't think the way that conveyor belt has been running is in the right direction or at the right speed, and I'm going to fix it. I'm going to get in there and change that conveyor belt. I'm going to get this conveyor belt operating the way it should, and their expectations are that I'm going to be coming in to rescue. They may not think they're going to do that, or they may even deny that they're doing that, but they get on there, and they're not willing to ride along for a while. They want to change things. And so the clash begins early on. So if you're jumping on that conveyor belt, what's a good suggestion for those first couple of years?
Well, you nailed it, Randy. It's not having your agenda to fix everything. If you're the stepdad, don't try to be the hero of everything that's not been going well for the kids from your point of view. And if I've long said a lot of quote-unquote wicked stepmothers are just women who are a little too over-responsible to fix things. They may have a great heart to them, and they have well-being on behalf of the children, but how they go about it and the timing is what undercuts what they're trying to accomplish. So having, you know, the opposite attitude would be a heart of humility that says, I've got a lot to learn. I need to just slow the roll, and I need to listen and observe and try to gain, you know, into the flow of the family. So a heart of humility, I think flexibility is a huge quality that's helpful for both bio parents and step parents. But it's an attitude that just says, all right, we're going to have to learn and adapt. We do have some ideas of how things are going to go, and some of those will be accurate, and some of those will need adjusting. As long as we're flexible, we can find what works, right? We'll trip over the things that don't work, and then we'll figure that didn't help, and we'll back up a step. Flexibility then kicks in, and you find what does work. Those kinds of attitude, heart postures, really make a difference.
Ron Deals here, by the way, from Family Life, the head of Blended Families with Family Life. And joining us here as we talk about blended families, love to have you join in. How do you deal with disagreements in your blended family? What are some things you've been intentional about that maybe has made a difference? Give us a call, 888-888-1717. On Facebook, Dan says, you know, we asked the question, what are some of the unique challenges? And Dan said, I would say my wife and I, you know, we never sat down, we never discussed what she expected out of me as far as discipline, as well as some other things concerning her daughter. And then there was a little dialogue going on online. Eventually, Dan says, hey, now we're divorced. It led to a divorce. And I think that creates a challenge. Here's a question, for instance. Maybe have you grab this. What do you do? I have a question that comes in. You disagree with your wife. She allows her 17-year-old son to stay out until after midnight. And you have a different rule for your own son. So all of a sudden, you got kids coming in. You have different rules than your spouse does. And you don't, you know, you think it's all going to work, but it doesn't. I mean, how do you negotiate some of those kinds of things?
I'm so glad you asked, because that, I find, is a very common question. Parent and step-parent are on two different pages. What do we do? First of all, let me back up just a step and make an observation. Unity in parenting, and I know you've been teaching this for years, is so very important. Mm-hmm. It is triple important in blended families, because there are some other dynamics at play that can divide you so rapidly. You have a different biological, a different relationship attachment with the child. If you're the biological parent, this is your kid. You feel an ultimate obligation and responsibility for them, and that's at the level of DNA. I mean, I don't know how to explain that, but it's your heart that connects to them, whereas the step-parent has a growing relationship with the child, but it just doesn't, functionally, it's different, right? So it's so easy for that child to then divide you because of any differences that you may have in how you're going to set rules and follow through with things. So you just cannot afford to be disunified. It really is an important piece. Rainey, my daily encouragement for the Smart Step family, it is a one-year devotional for blended family couples. Some of them are appropriate for them to share with their kids. One of the reasons we wrote this book is because of the question you're asking today. It's how do we help couples get on the same page? And a small one-minute daily conversation around the common things that divide couples is one way you overcome that division. Stay on track, stay unified. So this little 365, Steps in the Right Direction devotional is meant to get you talking about common things that you will face so that you're more apt to come out together rather than opposed. Specific example, 17-year-old, one parent lets them come in after midnight, and the other parent says, no, my child, I don't let them do that. I'll just be very direct. You cannot have two standards right. in the same home. I don't know whether you should bring them in at midnight or 1 o'clock or 11:30. I don't get to make that decision. You do. What I do know is that you cannot have two standards for two different kids. Now, there's always age and developmental appropriateness to add into the equation. Sometimes older kids do get to come in at a later time. We're not talking about that. You can take that into consideration. But if you got two, relatively same age, same maturity level children, no, you got to figure this out. You got to find one standard. Now, the hard part, Randy, of course, is in that couple talking through what their standard is going to be. And my word of caution to them is, have some parental powwows, and it may take 5 minutes. It may take you, 5 hours. It may take 2 weeks. You may have to go to a Randy Carlson event this coming Saturday and learn what you need to learn. You may need to read a book. You may need to ask grandma what she thinks your standard ought to be. I don't care what you do. You got to get on the same page. Right. There's just no way around it. Going through some good parenting material gives you the opportunity to talk and observe and rub elbows and say, well, what about this? Well, we've always done it this way. Yeah, I get that. But we've got to come up with our standards. So one of you will move toward the other. Maybe you'll move toward the middle. Whatever that negotiation is, it's got to be the same.
Absolutely. It says in Amos 3:3, how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? And I mean, baseball teams, basketball teams, leadership and business, they can't work unless they're on the same team, pulling the same direction with the same rules and the same philosophy and same culture. And that works in your family as well. It's a great principle. Hang on, Ron. Be right back with you. Ron Deal is here from Family Life. He's the head of the Blended Family Ministry there. And joining me as we talk about blended families, love to have you join in. How are you being intentional, or what's one of the challenges you've had? Maybe you can relate to the fact his kids, your kids are not being treated the same. How do you deal with that? Come and join the discussion here at the Intentional Living Center. 888-888-1717 is the number, and we're going to get right back to the calls here in just a moment.
I was just calling to make a comment about the blended families. I've been in a blended family now for 16 years. If they put God first and look at your blended family as a team, in a team, everybody has their own qualities that they can bring to the team to make it better. And if everyone just gets on one page, you have to meet some teammates at where they are and not to expect any more or less out of each other, but use the different personalities, the different, advantages and disadvantages of each member of the team, and just work to make sure that your team is successful, and just to remain encouraged and to, ask God to give you strength and to handle it in a godly way.
Here's one important thing blended families must do. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. Here it is, stand together. Amos 3:3 says, do two walk together unless they be in agreement to do so? And in a blended family, as you try to walk together, remember, it is critical that you stand together. There will be forces at work trying to get between the two of you to destroy your marriage. Don't allow outside issues and stresses to wedge their way between the two of you. Sometimes those outside forces are people close to you. It may be your family or extended family. It may even be your children. Issues from the past may come up. Situations that need to be dealt with together need to be addressed together. Don't allow those outside forces to destroy you. When you stand together, that's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
The 30s is a time where there's new starts, what's next. And I say in the 30s, it's so critical that we be teaching our 30-somethings, man, you've got to really build confidence in Christ. You're going to be confident because maybe the first 30 years weren't all that you wanted them to be, But now, this is a time to grow in confidence in Christ.
Decades of Life, the lesson for this month. Members, you, of course, received it a couple weeks ago. I hope you've already considered how you can use this with your young adults, your teenagers, your young marrieds, or some of the young adults that are still living at home, and talking about the decades and using it as a launching pad, if you please, to teach them about Christ and about life and about making decisions and ultimately about having a relationship with Christ. As I say, you know, we spend a lot of time helping our children make a decision for Christ, or at least we should be, but then we drop it sometimes, and we need then to start helping the people we love, our children who've made a decision for Christ, to start making decisions that are Christ-like in their life every day. In fact, that's a passion of my life, and this teaching on the decades of life really wrap around my heart for reaching young adults, college-age students, teenagers, through the influencers in their life. I may not be the influencer, but you are, or a coach you are, or a pastor, or a parent, or grandparent. And you could take this teaching this month and take it, share it, talk about it, and make an impact in the life of a young person. Tell us about it. By the way, new members, those of you joining us on this 11th hour at the end of this month, we'll make sure we get this teaching to you as well. Again, the topic is Decades of Life. And as I mentioned, we have just a few hours literally left to close out this fiscal year. It's the end of our year financially. And I just want to say what happens in these hours will make a huge difference in what we're able to do over this next 12 months. So your generosity to share the very best gift you can to help us close the year. And you're thinking, well, I don't know what to give. Well, if you're a monthly member, how about a 13th month? Giving that additional month, saying, hey, you know, we give $30 or $50 or $100 a month, we could double that this month. Or maybe you haven't given in a while or ever. To share a single gift, say you believe in the mission, you want to be a part of reaching people. Would you do that today? I'd appreciate it. You're going to make a difference. This is the day to do it. In fact, this is the hour to do it. Just go to theintentionallife.com. Click on donate. Again, that's theintentionallife.com. Click on donate, and your support is going to allow us to continue intentional living into this next fiscal year. And I'll be giving a report in a few days on what you all did. God bless you. Thank you for responding right now.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
Ron Deal is my guest today from Family Life. If you'd like to know more about Ron's ministry and what they have available, check it out at our website as well when you're there, theintentionallife.com. Ron is the head of the at Family Life of the Blended Family area of ministry. And Ron, appreciate you being with us. I talk about if you're a wise person coming into a blended family, there are times you need to defer to the primary parent. Don't step in and usurp authority over them, thinking now that you're there, maybe you need to step in and correct what they've been doing. That can blow up in your face. What have you learned some wisdom when it comes to coming into a blended family and supporting your new spouse with the job of being intentional with their kids?
There's always caveats, so let me talk around it a little bit. So, for example, if you are the biological parent, you're the primary parent, especially in the early days of the blended family. I often tell people, you know, the first couple of years, just assume you're going to continue to be almost like a single parent. You've just got live-in help. but you still carry the load of responsibility and a lot of the weight in terms of actually engaging your children around decisions and saying no and consequences and enforcing discipline and that sort of thing. But what you should not do as the primary biological parent is claim veto power on every decision. You know, that's a huge mistake that I see biological parents making. It's kind of like, well, I don't like the way you handled that, so I'm just going to reverse your decision, step parent. Well, I don't like your approach to how we should handle this situation, so I'm the parent, I just get to make the call. Well, that sort of veto power has a detrimental effect on your usness as a couple, right? Because what you keep saying to the step parent is, you don't have a place here, you don't belong, you don't have any authority, you don't belong as a part of this parenting team. That goes back to our conversation earlier around being unified. You can't say that to somebody, keep pushing them out, and then say, you're part of us. You've got to negotiate and talk and listen and hear a lot of what they say. And every once in a while, you may have to say, well, no, I just feel like we need to handle it this way. But don't do that often, because that can really hurt you in a big way. The flip side of that, what I would say to step parents is, you are definitely part of the parenting team. Just because you're an outsider doesn't mean you have all the right answers, but it also doesn't mean you don't have some of the right answers. You have a perspective that's useful and helpful. You care about these kids. Absolutely. Be part of the parenting discussions and voice your thoughts, but do it in a way that doesn't easily put the bio parent on the defense. If you're critical of their kid, it's easy then for them to say, wait a minute, you're criticizing my kid and you're criticizing me. So you're telling me I've been a bad parent for all these years. And that has double trouble attached to it. So just be soft, be careful, but definitely, be part of the conversation.
Absolutely. It's a good advice. Ron Deal's with me today. And by the way, we're going to leave these lines open. We're going to stay in studio here and continue after the program ends to record on this topic. So as a blended family or person in a blended family, you're welcome to join in. Give us your perspective. You got a question or comment, the line is open to you at 888-888-1717. And we always enjoy the comments and questions that come in on our comment line.
I've been listening to the program for almost a year now, so I'd like to first thank you for blessing me with a lot of good information. The topic I'm kind of concerned with is a blended family and how to keep the children serving the Lord in the home, not just on Sundays, during church hours. I have a blended family, and I'd like to know how I could be more effective in my walk with the children, encouraging them, and maybe some ideas. And I continue to listen and pray for the radio station, and thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Appreciate you taking time. Ron, big thing, you get married. We know we shouldn't be unequally yoked, as the Bible says. Spiritual grounding is huge. What are some of the spiritual dynamics at work in a blended family that are particularly important when you're trying to put this family together?
Well, there's a number of things. Sometimes it's hard to know where to start, because it kind of depends upon the backstory, if you will. So if there has been a divorce, for example, and now there are parents living in separate homes, you now have multiple adults parenting the children. If all those adults, let's just say, are Christian people, and they're all kind of rowing in the same direction, well, then that's a benefit for the kids. But if at mom's house we have this standard, and at dad's house we have this standard of what's important, what values are, and what's godly, and then we have a stepmom influence, we have a stepdad influence, all of a sudden things get really confusing for children. Like, what am I supposed to live up to? What are the rules for life, if you will? So part of good parenting in moving your children in a godly direction has something to do with how well you cooperate between households, which means you may have to have a sit-down conversation and just share why you would rather the kids not go to R-rated movies and see if you can't negotiate a common standard between households. That's one thing that people need to think about. Bioparents and step-parents working in the same household, again, coming together around and unifying around what you're going to try to move the kids toward, how you're going to live, for you to teach and model and show them godliness. That's first and foremost. Keep talking about all the things that are influences in their life. And absolutely, if there is some confusion between households, I think you bring that up. So I think, for example, dad's driving the kids to school. He's got 4 minutes with them in the car. And he brings up, hey, you guys may be confused. I know mom at her house lets you watch movies, lets you do X, Y. Here's the reason we've chosen to do what we do, and here's the standard, and here's why we're going to do that. And you teach from your heart, from the scriptures, what's behind why you set those rules and guidelines the way you have. What you don't do is then turn the corner and then denigrate or criticize the other home. No, you don't have to do that. You are saying enough to the children that this is why we do what we do. Your hope and prayer is that the children will latch onto that and see God's wisdom in it, and then join you in that value.
That's good advice. I tell you, that's, you know, the basics that we're hearing here, coming back to communication, getting on the same page, staying behind closed doors to talk things through, coming out in unity, not allowing much light between you, because the kids will see that and they become competitive, and they will start to use that against you as a couple. Standing together is key. Ron Deal's my guest today. We're talking about blended families. Our phone line's always open to you. I'd love to have you join in. How have you dealt with the blending process? What intentional lessons would you share with someone else? 888-888-1717.
Hi, this is Dr. Kevin Lehman with advice on how you can be an intentional parent. Many people find themselves today in blended families, and I can tell you one thing straight out. They don't blend, they collide. You know, here's the prescription, although it's a simple one that'll help you survive as a couple. You know, the kids didn't ask for divorce or death of a parent, and now you've come together. Yes, you love each other, but it's really important these kids look up and they see a solid union where there's absolutely no light between your shoulders. And you have to defer to each other. What does that mean? It's about your son. You get first shot on it, okay? You get the final call as well. So be respectful of each other. Show the kids that you are a union. You know, one of the reasons why kids give you a rough time in blended families is they want to know if you're for real. Show them you're for real. Show them you're committed to the Lord and you're committed to each other for a lifelong marriage. That's what those kids want. They want the assurance that you're going to be there. They've been hurt once through life, and they don't want to be hurt again. Do your best to be thoroughly married and be a good couple. That way you'll ensure you'll have great kids.
Thank you, Kevin. Dr. Kevin Lehman, good wisdom. And if you have not read any of Kevin's books, man, he has a plethora of them, as he might say. Books on parenting and marriage, you can find them a lot of places. I think it'll be encouragement to you. They go back in history. You know, Kevin and I worked together for a number of years, and with our Parent Talk ministry and writing some books and speaking a lot of conferences. And Kevin, at this stage in his life, is doing something pretty exciting. He has started a series of charter schools, Lehman Academy of Excellence, across the Southwest and other places, and having great impact on the lives of so many kids. So congratulations, Kevin Lehman. Hey, listen, as we're wrapping up today, I want to thank Ron Deal for joining me. And also say thank you again for your support in this critical time as we're wrapping up our fiscal year here in the next few hours by going to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. When you're there, it's very simple. Just click on the donate button. Be as generous as you can. We're going to take every dollar that comes in and use it to reach more people for Christ. And I thank you for it. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. For our entire team, thank you for all you're doing, for your prayers and support. And we'll see you next time from Intentional Living.